I am desiring prayer this morning for the word of the Lord. I have a title, and I hope that even though the burden that we have had concerning the work of the Lord over some months now can some way be connected. It may seem a little bit disjointed because of the space of time in between these messages, but the title for this morning is Advancing the Kingdom. And some of the messages that we have been endeavoring by the help of the Lord has covered many aspects of the work of God in the earth, and I don't believe that I've ever had in my ministry a burden concerning the work of God, and specifically for this congregation. It is with the intent to encourage each one of us right where we are. I expressed in one of the messages a song that was always a discouragement to me, and I expressed in that message why, and yet the Spirit of the Lord has made me to know His plan is working. We might feel we're not doing enough. We may feel accused. I did, down through my life as a young person. And you have responsibilities, you have children, and life takes on a little different meaning. But I always felt very guilty that I could not do something in the work of God when I was younger. And yet, I was not even ready. I was not qualified. Listen, there are qualifying factors when we find our place in the body. And I was far from that. Therefore, I had this feeling of guilt. But with the way that the Lord has been dealing with my heart and inspiring me, oh, I want you to be inspired also. I believe that He wants us to find our own place in the body because of the word of the Lord. The fundamental foundation of the work of God that I have a little different vision of now is found in this scripture, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Oh, we've heard that all of our life, and we do believe it. Tessa, I'm going to ask you to get me some Kleenex again. Would you get me some Kleenex, please? We have believed and practiced and taught, and it's been a part of the Church of God. But when we think of, thank you, the government being on his shoulder, I had a tendency, and I'm not saying everybody had the same feelings, but it had more to do with Holy Spirit leadership. We even believed that God ordered the songs and anointed the songs, and I feel like he has done that this morning from the very first song. It was just like the Spirit of the Lord was... did you feel it? I appreciate so much the government being on his shoulder. I am, and you know, when we say certain things about his government, and we may refer to how it is at, in other churches, we're not wanting to condemn, we're wanting to glorify that God has a plan that is perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And when we follow that, it works. And when we allow the Spirit of the Lord, and see, you have to have the Spirit of the Lord in order for this to work. For you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to hear the voice and to feel the inspiration of this particular song. And then we sing it, and the Spirit of the Lord enlivens it. Have you felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? That's such a blessing of the Holy Spirit being in control. And, you know, when I say, like some churches, and I'm not that familiar with other churches by any means, but I have seen they come and, well, now, because my brother had to go to another church for his granddaughter recently, and I asked him how it was, and he said, well, it was different. And he said, and now they have a big screen, and they'll have all of the words. People don't have to open their books. Not that that's wrong, but it has changed. And but you know, I like for the Spirit to lead, don't you? And not somebody else already picking out the songs. And we don't have something out front that says what the message is going to be on today. I'm not saying that's all wrong. I'm just saying we come and maybe we receive surprises. Have you ever been surprised when you come to service and this message goes, you know... One young person in this congregation recently, and I can't even remember which message it was, but texted me and said, that was just what I needed. How sweet and precious is the Spirit of the Lord, because I don't know what you need, but the Spirit of the Lord does. And I hope that this morning that we can, and you've heard me say this before, draw our minds in and maybe have a little different focus this morning. Because in some ways I have a little different focus. Just before Jesus ascended to... in front of his disciples, he had a message for his disciples. It was in Matthew, the 28th chapter. And I'm going to turn over here. I didn't write these scriptures down because I wanted to read them right from the Bible. Sometimes, you know, I paraphrase. I don't want to paraphrase this. The 28th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 18. And it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, and he said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That is such a... What if that scripture wasn't there? What if we did not have that knowledge of the kind of power that God has in earth? What he has in heaven, he demonstrates it in the earth also. And it says, then it says, "Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so that's what Jesus said. And over to the side of my Bible, it says it's the Great Commission. You know what a commission is? It's a commandment or a command or a charge or a duty given to a group of people. And in this particular commission, it was given by God through Christ. The Great Commission. And we could say, we link this up with other scriptures that says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You and I may not have that particular call to go to the foreign countries, and we may not... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That, but you have a calling.
Yes.
You have a place. I have a place in the body. Our calling is still great. If we are filling our place, God bless those who can go.
Amen.
Who has the call. The work that has been demonstrated, we've all witnessed it from afar, of the work in Africa. We might exclaim of the number of people that came to that meeting. But that was not one congregation. That was many little congregations. Oh, we like the big numbers, don't we? It's always been that way. But it's not going to always be that way. And when you look at that picture, there were people that came there from very small gatherings. But they were still gathering. So the Great Commission is given here today. The Great Commission is being given to you and me today. And only God knows what your calling is and what my calling is. The Great Commission was given centuries ago. It's nothing new. It's not current. It happened thousands of years ago when this was put in the Word of God. And since that time, many generations have heard the call and responded to it. And I'm going to say there's been thousands throughout the history that have been called as gospel workers and missionaries and sent all over the world. There's another scripture that says, speaking about the gospel. Now remember, we're talking about the government being on his shoulder. He's fully capable of sending people. But this scripture says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. It's linked up with the end. All of the history of the gospel going out to foreign lands and foreign people and many languages. And it does it till the end. There's no place for us to sit down and say we have nothing to do. And yet, am I prepared to tell you what to do? I'm not. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So this has been carried out over the centuries. And when you think of the countries, how many of you like reading about missionaries? Old missionary stories. We do. Sarah and I do. China. China was one country that was God was faithful to China. Many years ago. Africa. India. Indonesia. Colombia. South America. I could go on naming. More places than I could name. The people that were sent and called were under this seal. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We may know who we are, what we believe, what we stand for. God knows everyone that belongs to him. He even spoke of it in one place, and that he had sheep of another fold. He knows everyone that is serving him and is saved. I don't know that. This is a vast world, and I don't know 8 billion people. But I know where I am, and you know where you are, and God wants to use you right where you are. So, finding our place in the body, that's our thought. Not the title. See, I've already given you the title. I want it to be advancing the kingdom where we are. There's a scripture also that comes to my mind, and we use it in various ways, but I want to use it here this morning with these thoughts. It's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. I should not compare myself to Brother Michael or Brother Clint or whoever is going to these foreign countries. It's not wise, because I have just the place God wants to use me. So finding the place, my place in the body. And some of this has been alluded to in all of these messages. I know many of you weren't even here on some of those times, so it's whether you want to go back and listen to some of these messages to try to make a connection. But I have some titles. And of the various messages concerning the forms of the work of God. And one of the messages was the work of God in believing. There seemed to be a foundation and a process that God led along this theme, the work of God in obedience. Your personal mission field, that one was probably one of my favorites, because you have a personal mission field. I have a and it was this revelation that took away all of those past feelings of guilt that, well, you're not doing as good as this one, and you're not doing as this, and you're not doing. I want to tell you, when the Lord brought this down to me personally, and that you can have it personally, and it's a personal mission field. And where that mission field started was in your soul, in your salvation, in your sanctification. Oh, we do not diminish the need and the power of the sanctifying Spirit. It's all part of the work of God. And then it flowed over into my home, my marriage, my children. That's where it all starts. If you skip that step, you're shortchanging the work of God. That's where it starts, is right in your home. It's your personal mission field. And I read this somewhere, but I probably won't be able to tell it exactly. It's been a while since I read this, but it said that when you leave your house, there should be a sign that says, you're going to your mission field. You might say, well, I'm going to my job. That's your mission field. That's where God is using you and placing you. If you're married and you have a family, and God placed you there.
Yes.
And he said, this is where I want you to work. I want you to carry a burden for your children's souls above others. Really, I want you to carry a burden for your own soul. You know, I've said this many times when we pray. Pray for yourself first. How can you pray for others if you're not praying for yourself first?
Yes.
But your mission field is your children, your husband, your wife. We have responsibilities. We have spiritual responsibilities to the one we have vowed to stay with for life. Don't we?
Yes.
Do you feel it? So I guess one of my favorites of the messages was that particular message, because it brought it so down personal. And you know the song that I mentioned that I said always made me feel bad? It was that song that said, all of my people want to sit around the table and they don't want to go out into the field. And it just sounds so negative. But it's not. Because the core of the work of God is the congregation. It's not wrong for you to come and sit and listen. But don't just leave that. Go face your mission field. Oh, I want to tell you something. And then another one was say, what I say to all. So, you know, not one person here is excluded from this message. Did you know that? If you're here, you're claiming to be saved, you're claiming the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're following God, the Great Commission is for everyone. And then I had another message that was called, I just spoke of it. The core of God's work is in the congregation. And you know what really confirmed that with me? Is when I began hearing about the missionary work in these different places. Say India. How many little congregations do they visit in India? Is it hundreds of people in there? No. Maybe at one time there was a different age of harvest. And if we don't have light and understanding of the age we're in, we will be discouraged. And we will get out of order with God because we will think it's got to be the masses. And it's not. According to the scripture, the end, do we believe we're in the end of time? Do we believe we're in the last days? I believe we all sense it and feel it just according to our society and all that is happening in our world and the attack of Satan against truth and against the church of God. He is working. He knows he has but a short time, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And you say, oh, I've heard that all my life. It's still the truth, and it's even more the truth than it has been in the past. But it's important. Look at your home congregation. This is where God placed you. Wherever that home congregation is. So another message that we had, which hasn't been very long ago, am I my brother's keeper? That's part of the work of God. What does that have to do with it? Oh, there's a scripture that speaks about helping my brother that is weak, my brother that has fallen, my brother that has gone away. Let us not turn loose easily. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, they chose to go that way. No. Let's hold on. That's part of God. Is that one's soul also? He's concerned about all the souls, but that one that has backslidden, that should be our concern too. You know, I wonder what it would have been had there not been those that carried a burden for me when I was away from God. You want me to tell you one that I know did? Brother Lowndes, Sister Gertrude's father. What a man. What a godly man. He taught the adult class here. What an example he was. He died right there. heart attack and died. I was sitting right behind him. I've told you how that he would call me Sister Maxine and I wasn't saved, and he knew it bothered me. Well, if I miss you in Christ, I hit you in Adam. What did that say to me? He was thinking of my soul. And oh, when I did get saved and my girls came back here to the congregation to be baptized, and I was baptized because it was at Monarch I got saved, and he just thought I was back there because of my girls. He hadn't heard I'd gotten saved. And oh, Brother Lowndes, he almost danced a jig. And he told me I could dance a jig. Oh, I could hug you. That's what he said. Did I ever doubt that he didn't care? Oh, let us be our brother's keeper. Let us care about those who are even slipping away or have slipped away. It's the work of God. And then we had one of our last messages was on our personal, and I entitled it this way, our personal cup. Because the Lord said, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And I said, your name is on it. And along with that was our personal cross. And I said how that when God identifies our cross, it makes it easier to bear. You know, to know where we are. So finding our place in the body, that's just some of the messages that we have had concerning the work of God. But God wants us to find our place and fill it for the advancement of his kingdom right where we are. So I want to consider the 1 Corinthians now. This is more of a lesson for the latter part of this. 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and that particular chapter addresses the church. And it addresses the gifts. We're not going to turn and read all of it. But it names the gifts that God intends for the body of Christ or the church of God in the earth or for congregations where you are. It first says that there are diversities of many different gifts. Should that encourage us? But they operate, it says, under the same Spirit. There are different administrations, and that word has a reference on it, different ministries, different kinds of ministries. There are those that have been, in my time, said they were called to be a judgment minister. They're probably the least favorite because they were ministers that named things out. And there were people that resented that. But there's a place for a judgment, for correction. The scripture tells us all of that. Correction, reproof. Those things have to be part of the work of God in the church. And it says that that all of these administrations are ordered and called by the same Lord. There are ministries of evangelism. Did you know that somebody that is called to be in a certain place, are not as effective. Let's say a pastor. They really are not as effective as an evangelist. But that one that is called to evangelism, God gives them the gift to be able to speak to the people in a way that a pastor has a different burden for the little congregation. There were people that were known, Brother Darius Gibson. He let it be known what his calling was. He said, "I am a fisherman, a hunter." He did things that nobody else could do because it was his calling. He would go out and preach in sectarian churches where they would permit him. He was sometimes run off, but he preached to these places because he was a hunter and a fisherman. I want to tell you this morning, I am not a hunter and a fisher. That's why I have said to the congregation different times, you bring them in, I'll work with them. You be a hunter, you be a fisher. You be a witness. You be the light. Bring them in. I'll work with them. So there's all of these ministries is by the same Lord, and there are different operations. And what that reference was, activities. We do different things for different services. Like, this one has this type of activity. Wednesday night is a different activity. But they all work together. And you and I can be a part of it. We should be a part of it. And then it says that all of those activities, they work by the same God, and the gifts of the Spirit are listed now. After that, then that chapter begins to list the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And the first one is the Spirit of wisdom. Did you know at the end of that chapter, it says, it's a message, and what it says to all? Covet. Did you know there's not very many things that the word of the Lord says for you to covet, but this is one? Covet the best gifts. God has a gift for you. And you and I need to covet. Desire earnestly. Seek for. Ask for. I personally, years ago, I was down praying. The Spirit of the Lord put these words in my mouth. And I said, Lord, I covet the best gifts. I hadn't even been thinking of that. And I stopped. And I said, but Lord, I am not qualified. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I will qualify you. When we become interested in something in his kingdom to fill and to further the kingdom, he will qualify us. I personally sought the Lord for three gifts. I seek for them even today. Many years ago, this happened. God is able. Gifts are not always out there for everybody to see. They're behind the scenes. They work. We are not allowed to have a reputation. Oh, that person is so wise. Have you ever judged somebody as being so wise? Sometimes that can be apparent, but most of the time it is wisdom that is demonstrated behind the scenes. So, the first one was the spirit of wisdom, and another is of knowledge. Now, it's a gift that God wants to give, and yet another gift is of healing. How many of us would like to have the gift of healing? There's a price. There's a price that you pay sometimes with some of these gifts. You have to be a partaker first. You believe that? How can you pray for others if you haven't learned how to pray for healing for yourself? And then there's the working of miracles, and there are gifts of prophecy, and which also includes preaching. And another important gift is a spirit of discernment. And this is one gift I think you, everyone, needs. Seek God to have a spirit of discernment, a gift that you can perceive when the enemy is coming in among us and trying to destroy. And it's not, a discerning spirit is not for you to rush out in the crowd and expose it and, oh, look at this thing that's happened. No, it is for your protection, number one. And that it is for you to observe, number two, until the Lord reveals, number three. But every one of us need a spirit of discernment. So that's a very important gift, is to be able to discern right from wrong. Someone was telling me, this happened a number of years ago, and to tell you the truth, I couldn't even remember the preacher's name, but he came in among us from another movement years ago, and he didn't seem to fit. And, well, he did things differently. And he had the tendency of writing his messages out. And Brother Hargrave said at Monarch, he said, I wonder what that brother would do if the wind caught those notes. Well, there was just something that wasn't exactly right. And there was a young person, a child nearly, sitting by the grandparents, and this brother was preaching, and this child said, leaned over to the grandmother and said, there's something wrong with him. How could a child know that? You know, God wants us to realize when something is going out and it's not exactly right. And it's for your protection. It's for my protection. So it goes on and it says, and all of this is by the same Spirit. And then it says, and these all work by the same Spirit, distributing to every man individually. You have a gift. You may have more than one gift. God may want to use you in different places, ways, diverse ways. But don't broadcast it. Don't develop some kind of a reputation. God forbid. Christ didn't have a reputation. Paul, the other apostles, they didn't have reputations, did they? Let us do all that you do, do to the glory of God. So everyone, every man, individually, all the operations of God's work in the body. And now I'm going to read a part of verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, is everybody in the body the same? So also is Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not just one member, but it's many, but we work together. We fit together. We complement each other. My gift, and the word of the Lord says, the Lord would make room for your gift. And when we come together, our gifts mesh. Is that a word? We complement one another. We work together. I don't have to have your gift. You don't have to have my gift. We fit together. Verse 17, if the whole body, if everyone here this morning was the eye or the ear, then the question was, where would the hearing be? And to me, that just fits in this thing of feeling guilty that nobody's wanting to go out to the field. They just want to sit around the table. Somebody needs to hear, don't we? When God has been working with an individual minister and giving the messages, are we here to hear it? Is that message meant for this congregation? Or the message here at another place? And it's not wrong to visit. I'm not saying that. But we should feel such a weight and a burden for our own home congregation that when I miss, I'm going back and I'm saying, what did God say that day when I wasn't there? I got to check this out. That's part of the work of God. So if everybody here is just one thing, it's not balanced. It said, if everybody were there and were hearing, where would the smelling be? Do you smell anything when you come to service? What does God want you to smell? Do you have a spiritual nose? I believe God wants to reveal some things unto us. Oh, that was a sweet service. Oh, what a sweet incense. Oh, it was so fresh. Let's be some smellers also. Verse 18, it says, but God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He knows you. He knows your personality. He knows your characteristics. He knows your background. He knows your family. You name it, and he knows it. And he knows exactly what you can do in the body that will glorify him the most. I love this part, that God is the one that sets the members in the body. It's not me. I should not go to somebody and say, do you think that you need to be a teacher? That's God's business. Verse 28, God hath set, and the reference is appointed, some in the church I've put some of this in here, to fill the place as, and then it lists some things, apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of helps. Wait a minute, every one of us can have a gift of helps. Look around. What can I do to help? Yes. What can I do to get some work done in the chapel? we can help. Everybody can have that gift. And it says, governments, don't you know that there are certain people that can lead a business meeting and others that cannot? They have a gift to be able to do government or business in the church. And when that's missing, we suffer. It affects us. And so then it also says, varieties of tongues or languages. Let's not draw back on that. Oh, that's talking about speaking in tongues. God has gifts among us to learn languages for interpretation. And if you study at all the old stories about the missionaries that went out, there were thousands of dialects. And they had, God gave them the ability to translate it in a Bible in their language. It has to be in their language. So all of this that we have talked about this morning describes how God governs His church. And each member has a purpose and a specific job. And all of the members are meant to work together in harmony. And each member is necessary for the overall function of the body. And all members are to care for one another. That's what I had written down at the end. Now, I'm going to be closing, but I have a little chart I want to hand out. And the reason I didn't hand it out early is because I figured you'd be reading it instead of listening. But now that we've said what we have said, I'm going to give out these charts, and at the top of it, it says the work of God in the earth. And then the one thing that impressed me to write underneath that is the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have three circles drawn. The inner circle represents your personal mission field. And I have listed those things that become your mission field. The second circle represents the congregation or the core of God's work. I've given some scriptures, finding your place in the body, different scriptures like that. The outer circle is the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus said of his disciples, he prayed that they would not be taken out of the world. You're not going to escape the world. We're in it. When you get up in the morning and head for your job, you're in the world. You're leaving that personal mission field and you're going out into the world. So this is just for your information, you might say. But it's my burden that we all have a job in the church of God and in the work of God. And he wants to place you there where you can be most effective. Pray for me.